see the power of God at the cross through this song. And we see again His power in His Word in the book of Exodus. Pastor Kanye this morning will be speaking out of Exodus chapter 14. So if you would turn in your Bible, if you would follow along as I read, Exodus chapter 14. In this passage, this is where Moses leads the Jews out of Egypt. And as he leads them towards the Red Sea, Pharaoh changes his mind and says, no, you guys can't go. And so Pharaoh sends his chariots, his army, his horsemen after the Jews. And as the Jews look at this army coming after them, they start panicking. They get scared and say, Moses, what have you done to us? What are you doing to us now? We're all going to die. So let's stand as we read this passage in Exodus chapter 14. Starting in verse 13, Moses answered the people, says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Thank you. You may be seated. Bio. Pastor Pania is, and I'm often going to try to pronounce his last name. I just call him Pastor Pania. Actually born in Cambodia, but he grew up in the Fort Worth area. He's married to Laura, who's here also. Laura, once you kind of raise your hand over here. Laura is a musician and starting up for actually her. Starting work this week here in Houston at Methodist. And in the meantime, Pastor Pania is still pastoring in San Antonio. But they also have a child, Catherine, who's 3 years old. Pastor Pania went to school at HBU here in Houston. Okay, he's a Husky. Went to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. Pastor Pania also has experience in accounting. Okay, kind of. His trade is accounting, so he's got to be a pretty good guy. Okay. Pastor Pine has also done some missionary work in Africa. It's been about 3 years there. He was youth director at Cambodia Southern Baptist National Fellowship, youth pastor and church treasurer at Asian American Church here in Houston. He served as the bivocational pastor at Cambodian South Main Baptist Church, and currently is a pastor at First Chinese Baptist Church in San Antonio. So he's willing to walk in here. Why don't you come up here and share the word with you.
Thank you so much, Brother David. It is so good to be here. I'm honored and grateful for the opportunity to come and share God's words with you. Houston is home. It is good to be back home. Like he mentioned, I went to Houston Baptist University, and I also worked for Houston Cellular for several years as an accountant. And you know what accountants do, right? We count. And I also pastored the South Main Cambodian Church for several years before I went on to First Chinese Baptist Church in San Antonio. After I graduated from HBU, For several years, I spent in East Africa as a missionary journeyman. And Africa was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I learned so much about the people there. I learned so much about myself. And I learned so much about the Lord. Well, two of those years that I was in Africa, I lived in a country called Tanzania. And the language that they speak there is called Kiswahili or Swahili. And some of you know Swahili, maybe a couple words if you've seen the movie The Lion King, right? And words such as Jumbo or Hakuna Matata and Rafiki, those are Swahili words that you may not have, you know, thought about. Well, Panya, my name in Swahili, means rat. And every time that I'm introduced to the people, they would just laugh and shake their head in disbelief. They couldn't understand why my parents would name me Rat. I mean, did they not like me? Well, before you laugh too hard, Panya in Cambodian means smart. So that makes me a
smart rat.
Well, again, I am honored to be here. You know, the new year is always an exciting time. It's filled with great hope and anticipation to what God has in store for us. And we know that we have a good God, a God who loves us, who cares about us. And the Advent message still resonates in many of our minds that Emmanuel, God with us, is not just with us during the Christmas season, but God is with us throughout the whole year. And so we can have confidence, we can have great courage knowing that God is with us and He will go with us throughout the year. And there will be time when, as we journey throughout the year and in our lifetime, that we will hit a road that we feel like we've come to the end of ourselves. That we come to a dead end with no easy way out, with difficulties and maybe obstacles ahead of us and maybe obstacles behind us. Back in September of 2005, and many of you know, it was Hurricane Rita. And Hurricane Rita forced my wife's family, and maybe some of you here, and a million other people out of Houston. And so people were everywhere, were stuck in traffic. And I was watching this in San Antonio. They were stuck in traffic with cars in front of them. There were cars behind them and cars all around them with nowhere to turn. I mean, people were literally moving an inch a minute. They had the mighty hurricane behind them, blowing at them, and then they have all the traffic and all the chaos in front of them. And this was a crisis situation that caused much fear and frustration. That was also the case with the children of Israel after they left Egypt. They had the mighty army of Pharaoh chasing after them, and then God led them to a place that all they could see was just water. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They were at a dead end with no easy way out. And so what do you do? What do you do when you find yourself in a situation like that? Or you feel like you come to a dead end road, to an obstacle, you face so many problems and so many issues, you feel like there's just no easy way out. What do you do? Well, we have the answer here in God's Word. And so if you follow along in Exodus chapter 14, and let's look together and what we can learn and how we can keep moving forward despite what's behind us and what's in front of us. Let me give you some background as you turn there. the children of Israel had been serving the Egyptians for over 400 years. And that's a long time. The history of America is not even that long. And when they cry out to the Lord for help, the Bible says that God heard their cry and he sent Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell them, "Let my people go." And of course, when Pharaoh heard it, he laughed his head off and he nearly fell off his throne and he told Moses to go away. You know the story. So God sent 9 plagues to punish Pharaoh, but his heart was hardened. Pharaoh changed his mind as often as I change my baby's diaper. And finally, God just gave that knocked out punch when he killed the firstborn baby by sending the death angel to pass over all the houses in Egypt that did not have the blood on the doorpost. And so God knocked them to their knees and he crushed them when he killed all the firstborn babies. And so finally, Pharaoh relented and he let the people go. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, it says that there are about 600,000 men on foot who left Egypt. Well, that doesn't include women and children and a multitude of other people. But if you were to add all of them together, that could easily put our number to over 1 million people. In one commentary, it says to be over 2 million people. Well, despite how many people there were, God delivered his people from the hand of the Egyptians. And as God was leading them, he led them with a pillar of cloud by day to lead the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they could travel both day and night. And as they were leaving, they celebrated with dancing and with rejoicing, and they ransacked the Egyptians of their articles of gold and silver and clothing, and so whatever they could get from them. And I imagine as they were marching from a life of slavery out of Egypt, they were singing to the tune of the old American Negro song, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." At least that's what they thought, that they were free. Well, back in chapter 13, just follow along on our PowerPoint, verses 17 and 18, God did a very, very strange thing. Follow along. Listen to what it said. "And now it came about when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt." We see here that even though the promised land was just a few days away, God directed Moses to lead the people to a different route. Instead of taking the northern route, which is a more easier route around the Red Sea, they took a more difficult route. And God explained to them that he did not want the people to face war. He did not want them to face their enemies, or else they would be tempted to go back to Egypt. So they took a different route, a much longer and more difficult and more dangerous route. And you can follow along on the map there. So they started out from Ramesses. As you recall, Ramesses way up there. That's where Jacob and his children settled down 430 years before. And from Ramesses, they went to Sukkot. And from there, they camped. And even it's kind of hard to see. They kept. So instead of going up around the northern part of the wilderness, God took them down towards the Red Sea, and which is really interesting. And so they camp on down, and then finally they made it to Pi-Hahiroth, which is right on the edge of the Red Sea. And then the people were wondering, what are we doing here? This is such a strange place to be here. And at Pi-Hahiroth, they felt like they were boxed in with nowhere to go. And then they can't back out, they can't go forth. But yet, the Bible says that the cloud, the fire, the presence of the Lord was with them all along. The interesting thing is that it was God who led them there. It was God who led the people there. And God certainly knew what he was doing. Look in verse 4 in chapter 14. And God says, thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. God knows what he's doing. And then in verse 5, Pharaoh did change his mind, and as God had said. And you know why Pharaoh changed his mind? You see, Egypt had been built on slave labor. And as soon as Pharaoh and all his advisors realized what a dumb thing they just did, he gathered up his army. They went to round up all of these Israelites that they just let go. And as Pharaoh drew near to them with the clouds of dust behind them, fear and panic broke out among the Israelites' camp. And verse 10 says that the Israelites became frightened and they cried out to the Lord. Actually, they weren't really crying out to the Lord. They were more complaining to him. And listen to what they said in verses 11 and 12 in chapter 14. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way? Bring us out of Egypt. Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. These were some harsh, harsh words against Moses and against the Lord. They had trusted God to lead them out of a life of 400 years of slavery, but they didn't trust God to deliver them from this situation. They didn't get there by accident. It was God who led them there. And instead of focusing on the Lord, they were fainting. And instead of praying to God, they were panicking. And instead of having faith in God, they were being filled with fear. And many of us, we can identify with the children of Israel. You see, many of us, we trust God to deliver us from our sin, to give us salvation, to give us eternal life. But when it comes to other things in our life, we have a difficult time trusting the Lord. Sometimes we don't trust Him with our life. We don't trust Him with our job or our finances, our career, maybe our family, or even our church and our future. Sometimes we have a hard time trusting the Lord. Isn't that funny? We trust Him with our eternity, but yet we have a hard time trusting Him with the day-to-day situation. And when difficult times come, we cry out, we complain to the Lord as if He doesn't know and He doesn't care about us. You see, the Israelites, they weren't crying out to the Lord. They were complaining to Him. And Moses, being a good leader, he assured them that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Look with me what he said in verse 13. He said, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." And look at verse 14. I love this verse. Maybe we can read it together. "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Did you get that? The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. What an incredible statement of faith and confidence in the Lord. Here they are at the edge of the Red Sea. They're facing the Red Sea. Where else can they turn? They've got the army of Pharaoh blowing down on their back. Where else can they turn except to the Lord? And you know, at times, God does bring us to our Red Sea. God does bring us to a dead end. At times, God allows us to come to the end of ourselves, and where we, the only thing that we can do is to depend on Him. The only thing that we can do is to trust in the Lord. And the only thing we can do when we find ourselves in a situation like that is for us to stand still. For us to be silent before the Lord. And for us to wait upon Him. We don't panic. We don't complain. We don't run. We simply stand still and wait upon the Lord. There's something to be said about being still. It allows our hearts to settle down. And that's why we come to worship. We come and we get away from our busy lives, from our busy, hectic schedules, and we come before the Lord to be still. We sing, we pray, we listen to the message, and we allow God to work in our hearts. There's something to be said about being still. It's like a bottle that is filled with dirt. And as you keep moving, it's shaking, and it gets muddy. But if you let it sit, it will settle. And it gives you clarity. It gives you focus. It gives you perspective. There's something to be said about being still. And you know, when you're sick, or if you have a broken bone, or even if you have a broken heart, part of the healing process is to be still and allow the Lord to minister to you. And when we learn to stand still before the Lord, when we learn, like Jesus did, to get away by ourselves and to learn to listen, and when God does come to us and He speaks to us, you have no doubt when God is speaking to you. And you can be sure when you have learned to be still that God will show you. And He did in verse 14. Look with me what God says to Moses. He said, or verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Move forward. Keep on going. Keep on moving. I mean, this is rather bizarre, isn't it? Where are they going to go? They're just going to jump into the water? And this is crazy. God is telling the people to move forward. And when God tells you to move forward, you can be sure that God has prepared the way. God has paved the way for us to move forward. You don't have to make sense. You don't have to sit there and question. You just do it. You just trust Him and you obey the Lord. Why did God put the people in this situation? Why did He not just take them down the easy road, up the northern route, and get them into their promised land? But instead, God took them down a more difficult route, and then to face the Red Sea. Look with me. You see, God always has a purpose for everything He does. Look at me in verse 31. It says that when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant, Moses. God allowed the children of Israel to face obstacles and to come to a dead end so that they could learn to depend on Him, so that they could see His mighty power at work, and they will come to greater faith in Him. And God be glorified. Today, you may be facing your own individual Red Sea. You may feel that you're at a dead end. Maybe in your job, maybe in your career, maybe in a relationship. Maybe you feel like your health, you're struggling with that, there's an issue with that. And maybe even as a church, you may feel like you're at the Red Sea. When you face a Red Sea, it is not a time to run. It is not a time to fear. It is not a time to faint and to lose heart. It is a time to build your faith. It is a time to trust in Almighty God. It is a time to stand still and to see the power of God at work in your life. And when you have learned to stand still before the Lord, and when you have learned to wait upon Him, and when you receive instructions to move forward, there will be no doubt what you should do. And when God has taken you to the other side, everyone around you will see. They will know that He is the Lord. And He will be honored. He will be glorified. And then your faith will be stronger. Your song will be louder. Your prayer will be more frequent. And your worship will be more energetic. And your church, your life, will be a testimony for everyone to see. And God gets all the glory. There's a story about an old farmer, and he had a mule that fell into a well. Well, after many unsuccessful attempts to haul this mule out of the well, the farmer decided that he's just going to go ahead and bury this mule and put him out of his misery there. And it was just a hopeless situation. So with sadness in his eyes, he told his two boys to get a couple of truckloads worth of dirt and just put the dirt and go ahead and bury the mule there. Well, as the boys back up the truck and they begin to scoop up the dirt and throw it in the well, it hit the mule on the head with the dirt, and maybe some of the dirt got into his eyes and his nose, and he sneezed as a result. And this mule just didn't appreciate what they were doing. And so after a while, they keep on shoving the dirt, and so the mule finally figured out, you know, I'm just going to keep on stomping this dirt here, because, I mean, he was being annoyed by it. And so every shovel would hit the mule on the head. And so after several truckloads of dirt, the mule keep on stomping and stomping and stomping. And he begins to pack that dirt firmly on the ground underneath his feet. And little by little, the mule was lifting itself out of the hole. And he finally stepped out of the well, and he just snorted this whole business of being hit by the dirt. You see, when we face the Red Sea of our life, we can either let it bury us, or we can trust God, and we can move forward, and we can keep on stomping and stomping and stomping until we get to the other side. Whatever you may be facing today, maybe some things are breathing down your neck. Would you begin to live by faith and just trust the Lord? Trust Him to lead you. Trust Him to deliver you. Like Moses said, do not be afraid. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that He will accomplish for you today. And that way, your faith will grow. People will come to believe in our Almighty God. And God gets all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we stand here, or even sit here still, would you just work in our hearts, Lord, this morning? Perhaps there's some here today. You need to give your life to the Lord. He sent His Son for you. He loves you so much that He seeks a relationship with you. And you can come through Him by faith. Jesus came to die for your sin and for my sin. He died so that our sins can be forgiven. The Bible says that we put our faith in the Lord, that He would save us, would cleanse us. And you know, that's only half the message. The other half of the gospel is that Jesus rose again from the dead, so that through Him we can also live. And we can live with faith, we can live with confidence, we can live with great courage. And so if you never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can do that today. And perhaps some of you here today, you just need to be still. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need to sort some things out. Maybe you've been struggling. Be still and know that He is the Lord. And He will fight for you. And He will deliver you. But just be still for a moment as the instruments play. Just take a moment, just you the Lord. Heavenly Father, You are our good shepherd. You do lead us. You lead us to quiet water. You restore our soul. You anoint our head with oil. And You heal us, Lord. We thank You that we can come into your presence today to find healing, to find encouragement, to be challenged to trust you more. And God, help us to keep our eyes on you. Thank you that you are so good and so faithful to us, and that we can trust you. We can trust you to lead us this year, in the coming years, and the rest of our lives. We can trust you, Lord. And for that, we thank you and we praise you. We're going to stand up and sing our response song. Let this be your prayer as well as you stand still before the Lord.
Let's stand.